More time spent at home these last 17 months means more time noticing what's wrong or needs to be updated in your home or your yard. Just ask Tim the Toolman Taylor.
As you can see, our 1955 ranch home needs a lot of work, especially the roof. Now, you want to have a professional examine any weak or discolored areas like these and make sure they're properly attended to. For now, we'll just hop over these to a safer area. It's a little weak here. You want to avoid this area, too.
Yeah, we couldn't resist. All right. Old 90s TV shows aside, home improvement jobs, they are tricky. They can be really tricky. Some can be done solo, but even then it doesn't hurt to get a helping hand or a little advice, maybe a second opinion. So tell us, we're taking your calls. Have you tackled a home improvement job recently? Whether it's house, exterior, landscaping, yard, garden, flower boxes in the window of your apartment? How did it go? And are you thinking about starting one? What questions do you have? Any tips from your own experience that maybe you want to pass along to others? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston, which people already have been, because this is something lots of folks are doing. With me again this year, Robert Robillard from A Concord Carpenter and Jennifer Nawada, a landscape contractor for the show This Old House and owner of Nawada Landscape Designers Incorporated. Jennifer and Robert, thanks for coming back and joining us again.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to frame this up a bit, pun intended. You can tell we had a little fun with this as we were getting ready with something that's impacting many home improvement projects right now, and that is supplies. That's getting the stuff you need, lack thereof, actually really widespread supply chain problems across industries that are delaying production and delivery of products and increasing prices. Robert, why? Why are industries having this problem, and what kinds of supplies and materials are having it the worst?
So, oh, wow. Okay. I think there's a lot of reasons. Some of the most obvious reasons in the beginning were during the winter when we had the freeze and Texas was affected. We saw dramatic drops in spray foam, anything that had the chemicals in it from that chemical plant, because the pipes were frozen after they ran out of their emergency gas on their generators. And we saw spray foam, solvents, paints, things like that, where, for example, I think it was Sherman Williams or somebody was only offering 5 or 6 different colors because they couldn't do all the different colors. That, I think there was COVID caused problems with shipping and deliveries. And I also think that people left the business. People retired. And I also know that some of the factories that made some of the supplies for me for carpentry and renovations, they shut down several times, you know, whether they shut down during COVID or they shut down because they had COVID and they had to shut down for whatever, things just got backed up.
So I did not see Texas coming as part of the answer of that. I'll ask you, and I'm sorry, I'm laughing because it's a surprise, but certainly not out of disrespect for the incredible difficulties there were in Texas over the winter. So given those disruptions, what does it mean for home improvement projects? Ballpark, how much slower and how much more expensive?
Well, I can tell you, I can answer the more expensive because I've recently been rebidding jobs from several months ago that people now want to do. And it's 40 to 60% in some of the building materials.
Wow.
Which is nuts. How much longer? For example, I think it was my Marvin windows. We ordered some Marvin windows. They used to be 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks out. They're now 12, 14 weeks out. Garage doors were anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks out. They're now 21 weeks out, depending on the mechanisms and the certain types of doors that we're ordering. Doorknobs. Just went to order a bunch of doorknobs the other day, and it's going to take, you know, a week and a half to get them, whereas they used to just be on the shelf in stock.
So 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Rob Robillard and Jennifer Nawada here talking about supply shortages, but also ready to answer your home improvement, landscape, and garden improvement questions. We know you've got them. Feel free to call in with them. Jennifer, before we start taking some of those calls, I do want to ask you, same deal outside with landscaping and gardening?
Same deal.
Yeah, so tell us.
I mean, concrete pavers, always, never been a shortage. We're definitely 3 to 4 months out. Even bluestone has been difficult to find. Just composite, everyone wants to do a deck, everyone wants to do a patio. it's 3 months out, definite, hands down. And like some of the industries that we talk to, some of the paver distributors, they just, no one's ever seen anything like it. But what Rob said, production, if people aren't in the production companies, you're not going to have your project. The project's not going to happen without all everything that's needed for the site, right? So when delivery trucks are backed up, when you can't get your materials, then you have really sad homeowners. But I think overall, I think people are understanding and being patient and so, just knowing it's across the board.
So let me stay with you for a second. I'm going to ask you our first question, which came in over Twitter. How to cut back hydrangeas without destroying too many future blooms. The tweeter says that theirs have become so huge with all the rain that they're blocking the sidewalk.
Well, basically, rule of thumb, cut them back after that particular hydrangea is done blooming. So you have your endless summer hydrangeas. Those bloom on old wood and they bloom on new wood. So anytime, like all hydrangeas are different. You have your panicle hydrangea, like the limelights, they bloom later in the season. I mean, best rule of thumb, when it's done flowering, cut it way back. So you're, if you prune it at the end of the season, you're going to cut off the future buds.
So way back, meaning close to the ground, just below
no,
the...
No. Yep. Definitely not. I mean, it depends. Again, if it's an Annabelle hydrangea, you kind of treat it as a perennial. And that could be cut back to the ground, but you have to know what hydrangea you're dealing with so you could cut it back properly. But typical rule of thumb, prune it back after it's done flowering. And if you really, if it's in the way of your sidewalk and you want, you could cut it. If you need to push it way back, take it down a couple feet and it's going to be fine for the next year.
Okay, Rob Robillard, I'm going to turn to you. Earlier today, I had to text my daughter and say, will you please put rags under the basement door in case the water comes pouring in from the rain? There's a difference between improvement and repair. How much water-based repair are we seeing right now out there? How bad is it?
Right now, I'm not seeing too much, but I am hearing about flooded basements. A lot of people have sump pumps. There's sump pumps are very active, obviously. I mean, we've gotten... I don't know how many inches in the last 3 weeks, but it's probably up and around 5 or 6, maybe more. But not a lot of water damage, not a lot of water. I'm not getting calls about roof leaks and stuff like that.
Well, that's good news. Okay, let's go to the phones. 800-423-8255. We've got Amy on the line in Plymouth. Amy, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My question is, we've recently expanded our deck and we're looking for shade. We want to put up sail shades. And I haven't had any luck finding contractors that will do residential that have a lot of experience with that. Do you have any suggestions for me?
Well, I don't even know which of you to turn to on that. Is that you, Jennifer?
A sail shade?
Yeah.
So that's I can answer that a little bit because I just recently looked at one for a client. Amy, you're not going to find like carpenter, remodeler contractors that want to put up a sail shade because it's a third-party aftermarket thing. But what you could do is if you had the sail shade, you had a contractor that did work for you, or maybe was building the deck for you, you could ask them to put the eye bolts in some kind of a structural post or a cable or something that you could run that sail shade off of or hang it off of. They're typically like triangular. Is that what you're talking about?
We don't still have the caller, so we're going to go ahead and say, yeah, we were talking about triangular.
I don't have a rule of thumb like Jen does. I love rules of thumb.
Rules of thumb. I mean, sometimes if you need an extra, if you're going to play off the house, you need an extra post, you would dig it like you would a footing for a deck, right? So your deck person could definitely do that for you and then put the eye bolt in. So yeah, there are ways to do it. And I think your landscape contractors or your carpenters could do it.
All right, so I'm going to ask another question from Twitter. This comes from @Gallagher. Tell us how to get berry bushes through yield without critter burglary. We are talking about chipmunks here. In this particular case, @Gallagher tried to get blueberries growing, but the chipmunks, they think, find their way inside every tightly pulled netting, etc. Chipmunks, rabbits are just hungry and present this year. What do we do?
Interesting. Well, it sounds like they don't have any kind of garden fence around it. And then you got me when you said the tight netting, because the tight netting will allow them to get in more easily because it'll be easier to walk on. I think if it's a looser netting and you tie it back a little bit, it'll be harder to penetrate through. critters are hard to control, and rabbits are out of control right now, rabbits and chipmunks. So, I mean, putting in a garden fence with tight mesh is really your best bet.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your home improvement questions. There are a couple more coming down the line on Twitter, but in the meantime, I'm going to turn back to you, Rob, because we did just talk about contractors a minute ago, and we talked about supply shortages. But what about labor shortages right now? And, you know, I remember last summer, obviously, lots of conversation about that. Have we seen relief, or is this another industry that is having trouble filling the jobs?
Oh wow. I mean, we could talk for an hour on this. There's a huge skills gap going on right now. I mean, I'm pretty passionate about that. And I write about it on my blog, and I also talk about it in some of the videos we do, and I'm active at Minuteman Tech as a advisory member on the board there. But we have a huge, so for every five contractors retiring right now, we have one replacement. And the average contractor age in the industry is 55. So that's not a good sign. I mean, for years and decades and decades and decades, parents have, and you know, this will probably cause a huge debate or argument, but parents have been poo-pooing the trades. You know, you have to go to college. You've got to go to college. You won't do anything with your life. And that's not always the case. And there's a lot of money and there's great careers in the trades. But for three, four decades, that's what's been happening. Now we don't have anybody in the trades.
So what is the path to become? I mean, I'm curious about this now because you are talking about a future serious dearth in an important skill set. What's the path to becoming a contractor?
So what I try to do, and I think what the path is, I think one of the paths is trade school. There's also, you know, college trade schools like New England, Bennett Street School, New England Carpentry. Wentworth, but then there's also the good old just apprentice and mentoring. And right now I have a kid from Minuteman Tech. He's working with us for the summer. And if he's interested and sticks it out long enough, you know, the Gen X and millennials, they seem to bounce from us a lot, but we're going to hire him full time. And with the goal of in 5 years, we're going to give him a stake in the company. And we want to try to kind of entice them to stick around long enough to put their time in and actually learn enough to become a viable, really developing member of our company and then, you know, build a company from there.
All right, Jennifer Nuada, I think this next one's from you. Again, it's from Twitter. And if I try to pronounce that Twitter handle, I'm just not going to do a good job. But it's from Twitter. What landscape plants are undesirable for rabbits? Back to critters.
Oh, gosh, I mean, they're going to eat anything that they can. I mean, and it all depends. I mean, they're so overpopulated right now.
Why? As you answer that question also, why are rabbits so overpopulated right now?
Jen, there's one in my yard right now while I'm talking.
That's awesome. The rabbit. Someone broke the food chain and then it's overpopulated. I don't know if it's coyotes or, you know, the food chain's been broken somewhere. And so the overpopulation is out of control.
Again, I think it's the, like you see years where the hawks, there's a lot of hawks and coyotes or foxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of chipmunks, rabbits and squirrels. And then the next time several years later, it's the other way around.
Right. And it's just, I mean, there's certain plants they don't like boxwoods and stuff like that. But I mean, they can nibble at the bark of a base of a tree and hurt the cambium layer and destroy the tree. So they're just like a very invasive. It's a very big problem. You know, it's really hard to keep them out. And I feel like it's war sometimes. But
war of the rabbits.
So,
all right.
Yes.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your home improvement, do-it-yourself, contractor, landscaping, gardening question. I think we're going to stay on the critter train here with Carol in Leominster. Carol, what's your question?
I just noticed yesterday that a kind of a big section of our garden has been dug up. It's right against the house, and there's a hole going down towards the foundation.
Oh, and are you worried about the integrity of the foundation, Carol?
I'm not. I'm just worried about what kind of critter it might be and how I don't know if there's babies in there. I don't know how to take care of it.
Okay. So what can you do about the hole?
How big is the hole? Yeah, how big is the hole?
I would say, I'm not there right now, but I'd say it's about, 3 or 4 inches across, and it looks like it goes pretty deep.
I mean, it could be rabbits. It could be, right? It could be any kind of burrowing animal. Right. I mean, what I would do is fill the hole up, you know. I would put crushed stone. I would fill it up and get it away from my foundation.
Yesterday is I raked all the dirt that had been excavated. I raked it all back over, and within 2 hours, the hole was back.
Well, maybe you have to have a new family member at your home.
Caddyshack.
No, I'm just joking.
Thanks for the call, Carol. And I have to say, I'm like having this overwhelming urge suddenly to reread Watership Down after this conversation. I wasn't expecting rabbits to figure in so completely. I think this is probably a question for you, Rob. 1-800-423-8255. We've got David on the line in Holliston. David, go ahead.
Hi, I'd just like to know, what should I pay to have an exterior door installed in my outbuilding if I provide the door?
Rough ballpark, you mean?
Ballpark. I mean, I get prices all over the place.
So, David, it's tough to price that. I don't know what kind of siding we're tying into or trim. But, you know, a rule of thumb, Jen, wink, a rule of thumb would be probably count on labor to be the same price as the door. So if the door is probably $1,000, you're probably looking at $1,000 of labor. But also remember, you have materials needed for that. There's trim, there's spray foam, there's rubber flashing. There could be some metal flashing involved, exterior trim, flashing above that trim, as well as maybe siding tie-in, and that could add costs as well.
So while I've got the two of you, what I want to do now is kind of ask, what are the trends in improvement that you weren't expecting? Like, at this point, if you tell me lots of home offices, I'm not that surprised by that, right? Because people have been
COVID?
Working. From anything, but in the last 12 months. Say again.
Swimming pools. I have never seen so many asks for swimming pools, plunge pools, like dumpster pools. People want to stay at home and have their own entertainment space.
I'm sorry, did you say dumpster pools?
You did.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
That's a thing?
That's a thing.
What does that mean, Jen?
Taking old dumpsters and putting them in the ground. But
that's gross.
There's a lot of codes that go around that. But the soak pools, those have been huge, like the plunge pools. Those are prefabricated pools that you just drop into a leveled hole, or just your regular old fashioned 20x40 swimming pool. And it's so, companies are booked out into 2022. If you called now, you would not be able to get one installed this year for sure.
All right, let's go back to the phones here. 800-423-8255. We've got Zach on the line in Concord. Zach, go ahead.
Hi there. I've been building a house and, I acted as the GC, and I'm not really satisfied with the way the finish work came out in the house. So I'm curious as to what type of contractor I should hire to kind of redo some of the finish work.
Okay, and I'm just going to repeat your question, Zach, because your line was a little garbly. So it's finish work, and what kind of contractor do you hire specifically to do finish work? Go ahead, Rob.
So, yeah, Zach, you'd hire a finish carpenter probably, I assume you're talking about trim work and maybe some built-ins, bookcases, crown moldings, not hardwood flooring or cabinetry. Is that correct?
Yeah. Also, you know, kind of to refinish some of the hardwood flooring and replace some of the doors that are put in. I'm
not replace really doors?
For the quality.
Yeah, he said replace doors.
Yeah, I think sometimes you could reset them if they were put in and not put in great. But a finished carpenter could handle that for you.
Great. So I'm going to turn to you, Jen, now with a question that we had from here inside the studio. If one is in an apartment and you've got windowsill plants and there's been all this rain, or window box plants, how do you deal with protecting them from getting too much rain and really kind of drowning in the water?
Well, you want to make sure there are drainage holes, whether they're pots or window boxes, and it's kind of something you should do before you plant them. But otherwise, it's just going to overflow. With planters that have saucers on them, dump out the saucers. Just make sure the water is somehow properly draining out, because the too much water will kill your plant.
Thanks for that. All right, back to the phones. We've got John on the line in Somerville. John, go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering, I've got a house that was built in the 1890s, so it's super old. The basement needs to be, I think, repointed. A lot of loose bricks and leaky water. So I was just wondering, What's the best way to go about that? Who should I talk to, and how much it might cost? Thank you.
Yep.
So, great question. I did that to my house 25 years ago. I have a brick over field stone foundation. Not only is it good structurally, but it will help keep seeping water coming into your basement. So basically what you do is you need a mason, and it is costly because it is 90% labor intensive. So they need to chip out the, whether you have bricks or stone or whatever, they chip out the joints and they repack the joints with mortar. And then one thing they can do, especially like what I did with the bricks, is that they can then parge over the bricks completely with mortar, kind of like a plaster coat, a thin plaster coat, but with mortar. It's a great way to, like I said, structural integrity and also keep some of the moisture out of the basement.
Also, I now know what the word parge is, so I've got my new vocabulary for the day. That's awesome. Okay, back to the phones.
A brick mason as well. That's important.
Yeah.
Not just any mason, someone who specializes in it.
Yeah, somebody who works with stone or brick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to underscore that, Jennifer, that that's a thing. And if you're going to work with stone or brick, you specifically want somebody, I'm hearing you, who specializes in the kind of materials you want to work with.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Let's see if we can get one more call in here. We've got Pervez on the line in Andover. Pervez, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a roof where we have skylights and there's leaking, especially in the last few days. And we've been getting all kinds of estimates about how change the skylight or just do a ceiling job, and some guys have even said change the roof. So we're very lost. So how do you think we should approach this problem?
How old is the roof, and how old are your skylights?
About 20 years.
Both of them?
Both, yeah.
So it sounds like a poor installation. They shouldn't be leaking at 3 years.
Skylights, no. He said 20 years. I'm sorry, 20 years.
20. I heard three. Sorry. So 20 years is the lifespan of your skylight. It's time to replace it. The seals might be gone. Definitely the flat. You need a new flashing kit. You can flash old skylights, but the question is the roof worth doing that to and tying into, or is the roof need replacement? So I guess my answer is, if the roof is fairly new, then spend, you know, a couple $100 and buy a kit. It's a flashing kit, and reflash your skylight. If the roof is old, then I would replace the skylight when you do the roof.
All right. So Jennifer Nawata, I want to turn back to you now. And I want to kind of ask you, for those who do not have any kind of green thumb, whether they live in a house and have a yard or they live in an apartment or condo and they're dealing with something with their windows or a deck, what is a good project to start with to sort of begin to have some outdoor plants, flowers, et cetera?
Good. I mean, a lot of times I say container gardening because it's contained. It could be on your deck. It could be closer to you. Sometimes people are afraid to go out in their own garden. And if you start with a small area and then you build off that, just like over COVID, a lot of people started raised vegetable gardens, like a 2x6 raised bed. And I say raised bed because you have to know what kind of soil is in there, because you don't want contaminated soil. So organic soil, raised bed, start with maybe 5 plants and see how you do. Honestly, just stick it in the ground and it will grow, and keep it watered. And then you'll amaze yourself. And then it's a whole new life cycle, a whole new beginning way of thinking of things, and something encouraging to do.
That is just delightful. Okay. And Rob,
sorry.
No, I love it. So lightning round to you, Rob. If somebody wants to start a small doable home improvement project that makes them feel master of their domain, what's a good one to take on?
Oh man. Well, there's so many DIY projects, but painting is probably one of the easier ones, right? I think another fun one is wainscoting, or what I would call faux wainscoting, where you do kind of astral applied moldings and you proportionally put them on a wall and come up with like a chair rail look. That's always a fun one to do.
Those both sound pretty rewarding. Okay, that is Robert Robillard from A Concord Carpenter and Jennifer Nawata, a landscape contractor for the show This Old House and owner of Nawata Landscape Designers Incorporated. That was really fun and informative. Thanks so much to both of you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.